My name is Kelly Bramblett, and I am the host of the Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast show, which is named after my debut book, The Alchemy of the Phoenix, From the Ashes of Trauma to the Light of Love. My mission, passion, and purpose is to help spread a message of hope to the hopeless and inspire others to heal the collective by first healing themselves. I am a trauma support specialist using my knowledge to support and guide my clients to healing, which I do through my one-on-one trauma recovery, mindset, and shadow work coaching programs. In addition to this, I'm a two-time best-selling author and spiritual mentor who has had the profound honor of working with people worldwide, helping them to live their best, most joyous, and fulfilling lives. You can learn more about my books, my programs, and my services by visiting my website at www.kellybramblett.com. So without any further ado, let's jump into this Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast episode. Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome to this Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast episode. I am once again shaking things up over here and trying something new. I am going to be playing for you today a live recording of a reframing training workshop I recently held. So you have to bear in mind as you listen to this, this is completely raw, live, unedited, but there is so much value to the information that's held within this workshop. I recommend that you grab a pen, something to write with, and a journal or notebook, because you're going to want to take notes. And there is also a three-step process that I will walk you through. You hear me mention a few times in this workshop the reframing training worksheet. To find that, you will visit my website at www.kellybramblett.com. So just my first and last name.com. And once you're there, click on the resource tab. You will be asked to sign up for a free account. And once you're in, scroll to the part of the page that says worksheets, and you will find the reframing training worksheet free for you to download and work through there. I'm going to leave a little poll in the box. Let me know what you think about this, if you enjoyed this format, if you enjoyed receiving content in this way, because if this is something that you all really like and are finding value in and it's supporting you, I have tons of these workshops that I've recorded over the years that I would be happy to make accessible for you all on this platform in this way. So definitely take just a moment and give me some feedback so that I know if this is something you would like me to do more of in the future. So whatever you guys are up to, I hope you're having a wonderful day and I love you so much. Now, without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys hear the reframing training workshop. Enjoy. Welcome you guys to this free reframing training workshop, which I'm super excited about doing these again. It's been a while. I was just telling Sunny when it was just the two of us, I really took this last year off and just focused on myself, focused on doing some deeper healing work, and have just been really jumping back into work and all these things. And it feels really good because I'm coming back feeling really inspired and like I've filled my cup and I'm totally ready to, start up again, all these exciting workshops, projects, and all the stuff I have in store for the new year. So to get started, I'm going to begin by talking a little bit about what is reframing exactly when we talk about reframing training. And reframing, just a simple explanation, is a technique used in cognitive behavioral therapy to identify automatic thoughts and replace them with more serving thoughts. It helps us challenge our limiting beliefs, our conditioned thinking, and any type of mindset that we're currently holding that is not serving to us. And we do this through becoming very intentional with our thoughts. And I talk a lot about this in my work. I talk a lot about this in my coaching. So some of you have probably are already familiar with this concept if you've been following me for a while, or just other people, or you've just kind of been in this sphere of self-help for any amount of time.
But it becomes really important because our mindset really affects our perception of life. And not only does it affect the way that we're perceiving our experience, but it also really affects our overall experience, the quality of our experience, how joyful we are within our experience. If our mindset is constantly in the downward spiral, then life is going to reflect back to us exactly where we are at energetically. That's just universal law. And so when we become intentional about our thoughts and choosing our thoughts instead of letting the brain kind of go on autopilot, which I'll talk a little bit more about here in a little while, we automatically begin to improve the entire condition of our experience, I guess you could say. So by actively and consistently working on mindset work like this, like the reframing technique, we are ultimately helping us to live our most best, most fulfilling lives in doing so. So you can see why it's just so important to have this skill and have this tool in your toolbox, because it really is, in my opinion, mindset, the cornerstone to everything. If you, and I used this analogy the other day with someone, but I mean, if you think about our mindset as being the soil that we are going to be planting all of the seeds of our intentions, all the things we want to manifest, if we aren't tending to that soil, it really isn't fertile ground for any of that other stuff to develop for us, right? It's like planting seeds in dry earth that gets no water, that has no nutrients. And that's similar to what a toxic mindset can look like for us as well. And it really stunts our growth personally, but it also stunts our ability to consciously manifest the things that we desire, because you really can't manifest anything positive if your mindset is more, is consistently, I would say, struggling. Now, I want to be clear here, and this doesn't mean that we always are going to be rainbow and butterflies and sunshine. Because, you know, what would be the point of coming here if that was the case? We definitely came here to learn certain lessons, to experience certain hardships as per our soul contracts. And that's the thing. A lot of times, I just want to throw this in, and I don't want to get too far off topic. But, you know, as a law of attraction practitioner who also works with people in shadow work, that can seem contradicting, because so many people in the law of attraction sphere are really pushing this message of like, positivity only. And the problem is that we can say all the mantras we want, and we can walk around, you know, regurgitating these positive things. But if the energetics behind that aren't aligned with the words we're putting out there, it's just pretty much empty. And you're never going to successfully, like, actually process, you know, these heavy things that show up when we talk about life cannot always be butterfly and rainbows. We have heavy things that show up, and it's never about bypassing. And I just want to be really clear as we move through this, that it's never about bypassing. It's always about processing. Okay. And there's a big difference. Like, yes, we need to acknowledge and honor our heavy emotions. Yes, we need to let it be known when things are not well for us, or not going well, or we're not feeling good, or we're experiencing grieving. There is absolutely no reason to ever, you know, try to bypass those things. However, it's equally as important that we don't wallow in that state of mind either. So there's a fine balance of honoring these things and processing them and wallowing in them and kind of living perpetually in a victim mentality or for me mentality. And that can really snowball over time as well. So what, like with all things in this human experience, there's so many grays, right? Like, nothing's in this really black and white way of seeing things. And we have to really explore those gray areas. And with mindset, it really is walking this fine line of not trying to attempt to bypass things, but also checking ourselves often to make sure that we're also not getting stuck in the wrong thought patterns around our issues, if that makes sense. So just a little bit more information about the neuroscience kind of behind the reframing technique that I'm going to be teaching you today. So Something really interesting and important to understand is that the majority of our thoughts are happening on a subconscious level. Subconscious meaning we have no awareness of these thoughts, but we sense them. And we do this by really tuning into our emotional shifts. When are we shifting emotionally and taking a pause? Because our emotions will always alert us to the quality of our subconscious thoughts. So while we can't, while we can't always be fully aware of those thoughts, we can always be fully tapped into our own emotional state. And that's a really good sign of, you know, I've just experienced this shift. Let me tune in and examine the thoughts that I'm having. But it's this 95% on average of these subconscious thoughts that we're having that are actually creating our experience right now. So the really first step in all of this and in so much of this inner work is awareness of these subconscious thinking. And again, by tuning into our emotions, we can effectively notice then at that point through taking a pause and tuning in and asking ourselves, all right, what was it that I was just thinking about? And I always suggest, and this is actually something I do with almost all of my clients at some point, which is the mind mapping. And it's in my shadow work journal and also my other shadow work book coming up, which is actually a whole week of taking note of these emotional shifts that we're sensing by tuning in and then writing down the thoughts that are associated with those shifts. And what happens after about a week of doing this is something pretty incredible. It really creates a blueprint of your subconscious thinking, and you're able to really see where you need to focus your mindset work on. So, you know, if that's something that interests you guys, I definitely suggest grabbing yourself a little notebook, keeping notes on your phone as you go through the week, and keeping these notes. And I've never had a client come back to me after doing the week worth of mind mapping and not be surprised by certain things that have shown up in that exercise. And it can really help you to, like I said, you'll start to pick up the patterns, whether it's negative self-talk, whether it's just complaining, subconscious complaining, that will be unique to everyone. But I think it's worth really examining because, as I said, it's the majority of these subconscious thoughts that are creating our reality and dictating just how satisfied we feel on a day-to-day basis. But when we are having these thoughts, whether they're conscious or subconscious, if the thought has become repeated or a pattern, you're actually creating neural pathways in the brain, which are pathways for neurons to communicate with each other through thought, basically. And the brain will always, you know, take the path of least resistance because the brain's job is to be as efficient as possible while providing you with all the relevant information you need about your surroundings and everything else. So for efficiency's sake, the brain is always going to take that neural pathway that's been created already. And that's what all happening on that subconscious level, because those thoughts have been thought so many times that you've actually engraved that pathway. So the great news about this is that if we've been thinking not so great thoughts in certain areas of our life, for example, you can then become really intentional and create new neural pathways that are going to be more serving to you. So initially, any mindset work that you start to do, that you embark upon, is going to feel laborious at first. It's going to feel difficult. It's going to maybe even feel frustrating trying to keep up with it, because you just may feel like it is so much work constantly having to have this awareness, check in with your emotions, observe your own thinking, and then intentionally choose another thought. And it takes a lot more time. But the really great news is that if you can be consistent, and like with all things, consistency is key. Without consistency, nothing can stick. But once you're really consistent with exercises like the one I'm going to teach you today, it really becomes second nature in no time. And your brain will automatically start looking for, I guess, quote unquote, what we would call the silver lining in situations. So I want you guys just to kind of like think about where you are now in your own mindset. And just make a couple of notes. Hopefully you guys all have your notebooks here, journal, something for writing in. But I just want you guys to take, you know, a little bit of time as I'm kind of going over this stuff in just a few moments here to just be really honest about like where you're at, because one of the most important things we can do in any inner work, and this is a type of shadow work, believe it or not, because we really are digging into these subconscious thoughts. And one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves is being able to meet ourselves exactly where we are in full acceptance and love. So a lot of times when we're in these moments of observation and really taking these hard looks at ourselves and taking this real honest evaluation of self, the ego may get activated because there might be things that are difficult to witness. And that is where radical self-love and acceptance and compassion is so key. And just reminding yourself that it's okay to be imperfect. In fact, every single human being is imperfect. And in working with my clients in shadow work, I often will ask clients who are struggling with the process of observation and love, I'll ask a simple question: do you think you're perfect? And 100% of the time, the person will say, absolutely not. That's ridiculous. Of course, I don't think I'm perfect. Nobody's perfect. Because logically, we understand this truth, but the ego, when it's activated, sees our imperfections as a threat to our safety for whatever reason, which is actually pretty ridiculous when we kind of move out of that and into our logical thinking and realize everybody's imperfect. So there's nothing that makes you less than because you too have imperfections or wounding or things that you need to work on. These are just part of the human experience, and we can all accept this about ourselves. And the quicker that we can move into the space of acceptance and love for ourselves, despite our shadow, the easier this work becomes and the faster you're able to really move through processing and shifting. So that's really, really important. So again, maybe just make a little note about, and you might even do it from a scale of 1 to 10, where would I say my current mindset is at? And the purpose of kind of giving yourself this rating is because hopefully, you know, I'm sending you guys home with some homework tonight, which is a worksheet that will come in your follow-up email tomorrow, and I'll tell you more about that. And hopefully you guys will spend the next week, the next month, however long, working through this worksheet. And at some point, I want you to revisit this initial kind of rating that you gave yourself and re-rate yourself so that you can yourself see firsthand the improvement that has been made. Because often when we're doing this kind of work, it's so subtle that it may feel like it's not clicking. It's not making a difference. We're constantly getting pulled back to it. So doing these simple things like just kind of giving ourselves this comparison really helps to motivate you to keep going with it, because you will see that there is improvement there. So I think that's a really great idea, is either to make a couple notes, or just if that isn't really coming to you, just give yourself a simple rating from 1 to 10. Where are you currently at? So as I said, when we're having these thoughts repeatedly that are negative in some way that aren't serving to us, we've really ingrained that. But this reframing technique brings you to a space of intentionality, where your thoughts are concerns, and ask you to intentionally choose more serving thoughts, basically about a situation, an experience, a person, yourself. And again, I'm sending you guys out a worksheet that's going to like break down all these different areas of your life and really ask you to examine all these different areas of your life. And like, and that's why I said, you may choose to work with this over the next month. You may choose to work with this worksheet over the next 6 months and really just work in one area at a time and really just nail this technique down. But I tell you, the more time you devote to this, obviously, the more you give, the more you receive. That's just the way the universe works. So you'll see the greatest benefit if you consistently return to this exercise and you're working through these things. So something that is also really important to understand when we're talking about reframing is that there is always two sides to the same coin. So what do I mean when I say this? What I mean is that it is in the threads of the universe, contrast is woven in to the threads of the universe. There is contrast in every single situation and every single experience. It's just the duality. It's a universal law of duality. So it literally is present through every aspect of the universe. What the empowerment piece is choosing what side of that coin you want to focus on. Okay. And wherever you choose to focus is where your most dominant energy is going to lie. And that is also going to be reflected again in your life experiences. So this is an example that I'm using in a book that I'm writing, but I feel like it's a really great example to kind of explain this in a way that I think everybody can relate to, because we all went through this collectively. But if we look at 2020 and the beginning of the pandemic and through the years that we spent now from then until now and everything we've gone through, we can witness the contrast in this. And so on one hand, we can look at the sickness and the death, and these things are all real, and I'm not minimizing these things. The divisiveness of the collective, and that can be where we put our focus. And that's still true. But on the other side of that coin, there was also this great collective slowing down. The earth was given some time to do some healing. People who we live in this like society that tells us like busyness is success, and the busier you are, the more successful and important you are. And we are often just going on go, go, go. People aren't sleeping enough. They're not spending enough time with family. They're not taking care of themselves. And all of a sudden, the world came to a complete halt. And people all of a sudden who had been going nonstop their whole life were forced literally to slow down. And there was a lot of positive that came out of that for many people, the time with their family, the time to really prioritize, because there was space all of a sudden to actually think about these things, to prioritize in their lives, like what is actually important to me and what isn't. Like it created a lot of space as well for different healing aspects to come in. Now, both of these experiences are true. They were both happening parallel to each other, right? That's the contrast. And really, again, we can choose how we want to view that time. Now, it's going to be different depending on what we were all going through, right? Like someone who lost someone they love is not going to be like, oh, I'm so thankful that I had that time to slow down and reflect. No, obviously, they then are going through a whole other experience. And we're all 7 billion people. We're going through a certain experience that was collective, but that was also unique to us as well. But that's just an example of how two things can be true, how there can be positives and negatives running parallel in one situation. And we can choose where we want to most focus. And that will really dictate how positive or negative we're feeling. Now, some of us are more prone, and our brain has been trained to always gear towards the worst case scenario, the most negative aspect of the situation. And some people are naturally more prone to gearing towards, again, what we would call that silver lining, or the positives, or the lessons, or the possible positive outcomes even. And the reframing training really helps you overall to teach the brain to switch to viewing the more positive aspect of that double-sided coin, if that makes sense. Does that make sense to everyone? Am I explaining this well? And awesome. And guys, as you know, like if you ever have questions about anything I'm saying, feel free to type them in or even unmute your mic and just ask. So don't be embarrassed to interrupt me if you have a question, because I do want to make sure like everyone's understanding this and it's getting through. So another great example that I wrote down in my notes about how this may look is like, if you wake up every single morning, the first things you think about or are the stresses that you have, the people who maybe upset you yesterday, or the people you're angry with now, or all the perceived areas you're dissatisfied in. It's not going to make for a very great day or a very great life, because now your whole life experience is being viewed through this kind of negative lens of, you know, negativity, honestly, focusing on that negative contrast, as opposed to someone who decides intentionally every day before their brain can kind of take over and go on autopilot to choose the kind of thoughts they're going to have, to choose to instead be grateful, to count their blessings, to look at all the ways their life is thriving. And it's not that the life or that the situation is any different. It doesn't really matter. As again, coming back to that, both things can be true. There can be things in your life that are really stressful, that are really upsetting, and things that you're really grateful for. So both these things are existing. But if you choose to constantly be in that negative state of mind, everything else in your life is going to reflect that back to you. And it becomes more and more difficult to even pick out the positives. So it just makes a huge difference in how we feel and how we start our day and all of these things. So those are just some examples of that two sides of the coin that I mentioned and what that looks like. And again, I just want to say that doesn't mean we're ignoring the other side of that coin. We're not, but it really is about being solution oriented and not problem focused. There's always going to be obstacles, challenges, and things that we're going to have to overcome. But if we're only focused on the problems or the things that aren't working out well for us, we really keep ourselves in that space completely, because we're not opening up for creative solutions to come to us. And we're not opening up for a shift to come for us in that state of mind. So perception is huge. And I feel like we need to talk a little bit about perception, not a lot, but a little bit about perception, because it's so unique. I saw this thing the other day, a meme, and I just thought this explains this so perfectly when we're talking about perception. But it was, and you guys may have seen it as well, but there were two people standing face to face, and there was, like, if I was facing my way, the letter 6, but let's say Sunny's standing across from me, that's going to look like a 9 to her. So who's right and who's wrong? Nobody. Everyone's right. Both people are right, because from their perception, that is what they are seeing. And our perception works much the same way. We are going to view things based on our experiences and how the brain, and then we intentionally choose to interpret that information coming in. So we do have a choice. But if we are not, and I know I sound like a broken record, I can't at this point even count the times I've said the word intentional, but it's really the only way to explain it. But, you know, when we choose to be intentional about the information coming in and how we want to view it, that's a game changer. Okay. And that little kind of like example I gave, this isn't really about reframing, but I think it's just a great example to remember too, when we are kind of like maybe not agreeing with someone's perspective, just realizing it doesn't make you wrong or them wrong or anyone right. Like, everyone's just has their own perspective, and that's okay. And we have to give space for that. And I think if we could understand that, instead of trying to kind of mold people into perceiving the world through our experiences, we would really be in a much more accepting environment collectively. So that's just a little side note that for you guys on that. But most of this information that we are perceiving is happening again on the subconscious level, which is why that awareness of thoughts is so important. Because if you don't even know how your brain's processing information, how do you even know where to begin? How do you even know what to reframe? So a lot of this work is going to be just getting to the root of that, and then you have a starting place. So how can you identify unhelpful thoughts in your own life? And what are unhelpful thoughts, right? So here's some example of some types. And again, these are just examples to, you know, bring clarity, but everybody's experience is unique, and therefore your thoughts are also going to be unique. So again, like a great indication of whether a thought is a helpful or unhelpful thought is, how does this thought make me feel? If a thought feels good, inspiring, uplifting, that's a thought that's serving to you. If you're thinking a thought repeatedly that makes you feel like garbage, anxious, stressed, sad, depressed, that's a good sign. That's where you need to start with your reframing. That's where everything needs to begin. But some examples that might be helpful for clarity for you guys are things like always expecting the worst outcome from any situation, struggling to believe that good things can happen, struggling to believe that everything could work out, struggling to believe that there's a possibility, that there's any possibility, just always expecting the worst from any situation, consistently ignoring the good sides of a situation and only focusing on the bad. So again, that's talking about that contrast and that two-sided coin, and choosing to always focus on just one side of the coin and never seeing the good in any situation. This one's a big one, and I see this a lot just in general, but really in the collective and sometimes in the people I work with as well. But seeing things as only good or bad, or really just any kind of black and white thinking, like being able to think in the gray areas. There is no, you know, wrong or right for the most part. Like, yes, some things are inherently wrong, obviously, like when we're harming other people. But outside of that, as far as like our thoughts, our belief systems, you know, it's not about being wrong or right. We have to be able to examine these areas of gray and have a positive mindset. We have to be able to think in these areas of gray as well. If we become too rigid, it becomes really difficult to ever shift that mindset. And that's what we call having a fixed mindset as opposed to a growth mindset. And people with a fixed mindset have a bad habit of thinking in these terms of black and white, good or bad, and just black and white thinking, instead of being able to do things like see something from someone else's perspective, look at something from different angles, examine both sides of a situation, et cetera. Self-blame and kind of like blaming ourselves or feeling bad for every negative situation in our life. That's another example. Any thought that's not loving towards self is obviously an unhelpful thought. And I think that's a big one that almost everyone at some point in life struggles with, is having those less than loving thoughts about self and not feeling good about ourselves. And sometimes it could be, you know, due to trauma. Sometimes it's due to things we've actually done that we feel shame about, that we're having a hard time to forgiving ourselves for. That will show up different for everyone as well, but having those kind of negative thoughts about self, that's always going to be an unhelpful thought for you. Feeling like a victim often in different circumstances. If you notice you're always at like the receiving end of it, you always feel like you've been wronged in every situation. Like you're not really able to take accountability for like, it takes two to tango. That's a really great example of unhelpful thoughts that are ready to be reframed. Okay. So let's grab the journal if you haven't already, or your notebook, and we are actually going to work through a process that will help you put this concept into practice. And I say this often, you know, you guys, we can absorb all the knowledge and information in the world, but it does nothing for us if we don't put it into practice. So before I move on to this, I just want to give space. Does anybody have anything they want to add here? Any questions that they want answered? Anything they're unsure about before we move into the next? All right. Awesome. Well, in that case, what I want you to do, and we're only going to be working with one today, one tonight, but I want you to write down one persistent thought that causes you anxiety, stress, or mental suffering in some way. I'm going to give everyone just a moment to write that down and to kind of reflect on that. I'm going to wait until I kind of see eyes up here before we move on and give everyone time, because I know this can be tricky. All right. Does anybody need more time with this? Okay. So next, I want you to identify how this particular persistent thought has negatively impacted your life. This is really key in this process because it motivates us to want to reframe it when you start to see how it's negatively impacted you. It's like, yes, I want to shift this. Do we need more time with this? You're good. All right. Step three is to reframe the thought to something more serving. You will know a thought is more serving because it will feel good. And I'm just going to read an example of how this may look for further clarity real quick before you begin that aspect, that final step. This is an exercise from my book, The Shadow Work Journal and Guide for Beginners. It's on page 52 for anyone that already has this book. So here's an example of the three-step process that is easy to kind of understand and kind of anchor it in. So the toxic thought or the persistent thought, as an example that I wrote, is I'm so awkward and people think I'm weird. So that's obviously, in this example, a negative, unhelpful thought about self. How it affects me. For that example, it says, I'm afraid to open up to people, so it's hard for me to make friends. Okay, so that's how that negative self-thought has manifested. And then the reframed thought is, I am perfect just as I am. When I show up authentically, I attract the perfect people for me. Now, can you see how that's such a, that even just hearing that, even just reading that felt better? The energetics of that statement are so nurturing and so loving, and it feels better. So that's just an example of this three-step process. So I want you guys now to reframe your persistent thought into something that feels better. Right. Does anybody need more time with this part of the exercise? So you've just worked through this simple, as I said, three-step process that you can apply to any area of your life. And again, like I've mentioned several times, I am going to be sending you guys a worksheet to work through that will really divide your experiences up into different categories where you can really start breaking things down using this three-step process area by area. So you know, one is like your home life, your work life, your friendships, your, you know, finances. I can't remember all of the ones I have written down on the worksheet, but that's just an example. And you can really go deep. So it's a very simple process, but it's a tool that you can really use to go really, really deep with it and really take your time. Now, I want to go over just some common reframing mindset shifts you can use on a day-to-day basis, because we're not always going to be like in a position to like stop and pause and do this whole three-step process, right? That's kind of like inner work we're carving out for. We still have to walk through life and like interact with people. So these are just some common reframing mindset shifts that you can use to shift things as they are being presented to you. So this is a really popular one, and you guys have probably heard it. It's very common, but it's the mindset shift that says, I get to over I have to, right? And I'll use an example of this. It's like, especially in our society today, like people 100 years ago, some of the things that we complain about, they would just think we were absolutely mad crazy. You know, they would just think like they would be shocked and in disbelief because life was so difficult. So something as simple as like, you know, I know a chore that I personally don't like, and a lot of other people, some people can relate to, is like coming up with something to cook for your family or whatever, every single day, yourself, whatever it is, just this whole chore of like, not only doing the cooking, but making sure you have the ingredients, gathering the ingredients, doing it every day, blah, blah, blah. It's a hassle, right? And I think a lot of times these chores like this will dread, like, oh, I have to cook dinner, right? Or I have to go to the gym. But really shifting that to, I get to go inside my perfectly convenient kitchen where I have, it's easy as can be. I'm not building a fire, right? I'm not like having to go out and hunt my food. I was able to go and pick out from thousands of ingredients that are accessible to me. And I get to prepare this healthy, nutritious meal for myself and those I love. So that's just an example. The same thing, using that example with, I have to work out. No, I get to work out. How lucky am I that I even have the time to devote to this kind of self-care? How lucky am I that I can afford this gym membership so that I can make sure that I'm staying healthy and that my body is staying healthy and active? So really switching from I get to over I have to is a big one. And like I said, it's a pretty common one. I think most of us have heard it, but I feel like when we're talking about reframing, it just needs to be mentioned because it's a powerful one. Another mindset shift you can use to create that is asking yourself, how can I see this differently? Or how can I see things differently? When we challenge our own perception by asking, how can I view something differently? We train the brain out of that black and white thinking that I mentioned before. We teach the brain to automatically look at things from different perspectives and then choose a perspective that's going to be most serving to us. So asking, how can I see this differently when confronted with challenges? And again, this is especially helpful if we're dealing with frustrations or we're at odds with another person in our life. Like, how can I see this differently? It really helps deactivate the ego in many ways. So that is great to use for many different reasons. Another one that's huge is, this is not happening to me, it's happening for me. And then asking, what lessons am I being presented to throughout this experience? When we're presented with challenges, it's very easy just to be like, life is so hard. Why is this happening to me? I can't believe this has happened to me. And then some people, depending on mindset, might even take it further and have these thoughts of, I never get dealt a fair hand. Things are never working out in my favor. Here's more evidence of things never working out in my favor. And the universe will provide you with all the evidence you want to confirm your thinking, whether it's positive or negative. That's the way the universe works. So when we ask, what lessons am I being presented with? What is this teaching me? What is this showing me? Rather than, why is this happening to me? Moving to, why is this happening for me? That is a huge shift in the right direction. And that is a wonderful way for actually processing those heavier experiences. So we're not bypassing it. We're not saying it's not happening and I'm going to walk out and pretend like life is, you know, jolly today. No, we're simply looking at the situation and saying, this is a crappy situation and I do acknowledge that. But because I know how the universe works, because I know how these things unfold, there is a purpose in this. So what is this purpose? How is this helping me to grow? What is this teaching me? What am I being presented with to learn from this experience? Another great one is asking, what things are working out for me well right now? All right. Instead of always focusing on what's not working out well, and we always are going to have things. I could sit here right now and list off 10 or 20 things that aren't working out for me well. But I could also sit here and list 10 or 20 things that are working out freaking amazing for me right now. Both things are true. Both things exist within my experience. But when I ask myself what things are working out for me right now, that thought process helps you to intentionally bring your focus to the things that are going to inspire you, light you up, and the most important thing, make you feel good. Because ultimately, this is what all of this is about, is feeling good, right? Feeling good in our experience. The next one is, what possible positive outcome can come from this difficult situation? Looking at the different possibilities, what are the positive possible got it. outcomes for this situation. And this is going to work two part. Not only does it help shift your mindset, but it also introduces a little bit of some law of attraction in there. You're now focusing on the best possible scenario instead of the worst possible scenario. And the universe, always listening to us, is going to deliver you those best possible scenarios. That's just the way it is. And the universe is very neutral. So if we're sitting there focusing in every situation on the worst possible outcome, we will see that manifest for us as well. That's just the law. The universe doesn't care. It just matches vibrational frequency. And the next one, which is really great to grab a journal at some point for this one and really brainstorm, what creative solutions can I find for this particular situation? How can I get creative? How can I open up to creative solutions instead of just thinking about the problem? You know, let's say you get a flat tire while you're driving down the street. Well, if you just sit in your freaking car upset because the tire's flat, guess what happens? You're going to sit in that car forever, really, until you begin taking some kind of actionable step through finding some kind of creative solution. So that creative solution might be calling for help, changing the tire yourself. Those aren't very creative, but I think you get the point in what I'm saying. Like, if we don't become solution oriented, we stay stuck in our problems. That's all there is to it. And that's just a very, very simple example that came to mind to explain what that looks like and the difference between being problem focused or solution oriented. So does that all make sense to everyone? All everything? Does anyone have any questions about anything at this time? Are you trying to unmute yourself, Carrie? Can't tell.
Yeah, sorry. I'm on my phone. My phone. Kind of going back to the reframes, like, do you just want to make it as positive as possible, regardless of whether you believe it in the moment, or should you believe it?
So,
do you get what I'm saying?
Yes. So this is kind of going back to what I was talking about neuropathway wise. It's likely that initially you aren't going to believe it because you're introducing something brand new, something contradicting to what you've been thinking consistently for a while. So initially it's going to feel foreign. Initially it's going to be very difficult. So what that means though, and how you change that to eventually shift it so it becomes believable to you, is you begin using your reframed thought every single time the other unserving thought shows up. You interrupt it. You interrupt that thought and you place a more serving thought in its place. It's as simple as that. And at first you won't believe it, but when you do that 10, 12, 15, 20 times a day for 4 weeks, guess what? At the end of that 4 weeks, you form those neural pathways. That's just science. The brain is automatically going to follow that pathway. So the belief in these statements grow as we literally engrave it into the brain. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But if you're just choosing a thought and you never work with it again and you never revisit it again and you say, okay, well, I reframed it here in this exercise, but you don't take it with you out into the walking world, it will never impact your life in a positive way. So the real power piece and an empowerment piece of this comes in is when you intentionally interrupt that thought. And what I have found, and I use this example in one of my books, but this is how that kind of looks, you know, and this is an example of how that plays out over time. But when I was very new on my healing journey, I had a ton of self-loathing thoughts. I hated myself, honestly. And that's no surprise because I feel like only someone who hates themselves would be living that kind of life that I was living, and it was being shown in everything I was doing. And so when I started upon my healing journey, I had a habit of jokingly, sarcastically, as we often do, right? We mask things with sarcasm and jokes because that's a little more comfortable. Saying all the time, like if I would make a small mistake or not get something right away, I would joke and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so stupid, or just really downplay myself. And even though I said it as a joke, there was a deep-seated belief that I wasn't very intelligent, that I wasn't very smart, and that I wouldn't be able to accomplish things in life because I wasn't very intelligent. And I really believed that. And now, even as I say it, it's like seems so foreign to me because I'm like, that is just not true. But what I started doing is I started interrupting that thought with a positive mantra about myself, you know. And at first, I would get through the entire thought about not being smart or not being intelligent. And then I would remember, oh, wait, I have a mantra that I'm using for this. And I would introduce the mantra. And then maybe I would get halfway through that thought and I would start to think that thought. And then I'd remember, wait, I have a mantra for this, but I would remember it faster. And then I began using the mantra before the thought was even formed, right when it was on the horizon of forming. And now all these years later, there is no part of me that identifies with that original negative thought any longer. So by effectively being consistent in my reframing, and I was working with a mantra to help me do that. In time, I created those very neural pathways that I was telling you guys. And like I said, even when I shared the story with you now, it almost made me smile because as I was speaking these words, I'm like, I am so distant from that mindset at this point. I can't even, it's hard for me to even imagine that it ever existed in the first place. So does that answer your question? Does that make sense?
Yes, completely. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Anybody else have anything before we kind of wrap it up for tonight, I'm going to just go over a couple last things with you guys and anyone watching this on the replay, because we did have quite a few people signed up as well that will be watching this on the replay. So I have homework because I wouldn't be myself if I didn't. In my truest fashion, I'm showing up with homework for you guys. So now that you understand this the basics of this impactful mindset work, it's time to put it into practice. I'll be sending out that worksheet that I told you tomorrow that you guys will be able to work through over the next few weeks or even months, as I said. And in no time, this reframing is going to be second nature to you, and you'll find that you're doing it in all areas. So that's going to be included in your email. There will also be a replay for you. And I will also be announcing the winner for this free 1-hour mindset coaching session with me. This is drawn randomly based on those who registered. So whether you're watching this live or on the replay, you're automatically entered to win for free this one-on-one mindset coaching session with me. And this is all, as I say, a celebratory leading up to my grand relaunch of different programs and now a book release in January. So now I'm celebrating a couple things. And so I'm really just doing these things to build excitement, to give people an opportunity to work with me one-on-one and get a little taste of what that's like and build excitement about the relaunch. So that's kind of why I am giving these things away. At every single one of these events, I'm giving something away. I'm going to be giving out, I believe on the next one, which is, I have to look, you can find the schedule on my website, www.kellybramblett.com, but I know I'm going to be giving away a signed copy of a book at some point. And now that I'm going to have the new shadow workbook coming, I'll likely switch it to that new workbook. So anyways, free fun giveaways in every one of these events for those who registered. And then I also want to send the invitation for anybody watching this who would like to go deeper with this work. I have several options that might fit your needs. Right now I'm offering, and this only happens in December and January every year, I'm offering the one-on-one, one-off clarity session. So when I say one-off, I mean these are 1 hour to 90 minute sessions that are one-time sessions. So it's not signing up for a program or a package. And you can expect the following in these clarity sessions. It's a review of the last year to help you gain clarity on what is and what isn't working, clarity on what you need to let go of mentally, emotionally, and physically in the upcoming year, clarity on your goals, intentions, and manifestations for the forthcoming year, clarity on the best way to make decisions based on your human design authority. That is new this year. And I have obviously been really getting into human design. And so I've thrown that in this year because I just think for me, understanding my authority and the best way for me to make decisions has been game changing according to my human design. And lastly, I will be offering tools, processes, and techniques that apply to your unique situation and help you create sustainable results for 2024. And then I also, as always, offer my mindset coaching, shadow work coaching, and trauma recovering coaching. These are offered as long-term commitment packages. And the first step for anyone who is interested in that is to set up a free discovery call to chat more and decide if we'd be a good fit. The links to register for any of these things that I've mentioned are going to be included in this email as well tomorrow. So that is it, ladies. I'm closing this out right at 1 hour. Is there anything that anyone would like to ask, add, share before we close this workshop for tonight?
Thank you, Kelly. I'm excited about your new book.